Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Look who we have here. Welcome back, Chef Plum.
Hey, friends. Excited to be here. Yes. Always love being here with you, Anna. I feel like I learned something. You're so nice to me for the first hour.
Raven is out on vacation today and tomorrow. He'll be back on Monday, and that Can't Beat Raven jackpot is really high. It's up to $6,300.
That's a lot of money.
Six-time Emmy-nominated chef, Chef Plum. Oh, hold on. Did you get to seven?
Seven times.
How many times did you win, though?
Okay.
Maybe next year.
No, well, we're going to find out if I get the seventh, if we win the seventh one.
Oh, well, lucky number seven.
We'll find out, right? Yeah. Which means I lost six times, but I won once. I'll take it. It's great.
Well, I mean, we haven't crossed that bridge yet.
No, we haven't, but we're going to get there. And I feel like the positivity, if you would give me a little bit more, we might actually win.
No, I think you will win. I believe in you, and I think you're fantastic. But what is the Emmy even for?
It's for a thing called Bodega Bites. I did on a Good Night New York on a TV show where they go to a bodega. For those who don't know, a bodega is like a convenience store, and they buy a bunch of terrible things, and they give me 5 minutes to make a dish out of it.
So what are the things that they bought when you did this on the show?
Yeah, it was
show?
Like canned ravioli, some terrible candies, some coconut water. It was some pretty awful stuff. But when all else fails, I do what I always do. I put on a Mexican Lucha Libre wrestling mask and just yell things. So that's what I did.
And you think that's going to win you the Emmy this time?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. Well, fingers crossed.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with Chef Plum, he is a former Food Network star. And now he just comes on and spends time with me whenever he's bored because he's also my very good friend.
Yeah. I love hanging out with you. You're the best. And I mean, I have other qualities besides being on the Food Network. Like, I've done other things.
Like what?
I was on PBS for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I did some things on NPR. I don't know. Like, I've done more things.
All right. Yeah. But most importantly, being my friend.
Okay, fine. Most importantly.
All right. So, and also, this has been a big year for Chef Plum because his twins, he has three girls, and the older ones are twins, and they just went off to college.
Yeah, one went to American University in D.C., and the other one went to the College of Charleston in Charleston, South Carolina, which, by the way, I didn't know American University was a real place. I used to thought it was just one of the college in Coming to America, which I'm going to date myself here, I know. But anyway, that when he says, what college are you going to go to? He goes, the College of America. I didn't know it was real. It's a real place. Great school, by the way.
American College is beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
great
school. The Charleston school, I also heard, is beautiful. Didn't they fight? They both wanted to go to Charleston?
They both want to go to American, and they both got accepted. And my one daughter told her sister, if I go, you can't go. And I was like, oh.
It's interesting that as twins, they didn't want to go to, I mean, I understand, but this is like the first time that they've been separated.
Not really. So when they were in third grade, we gave them the choice to not be in the same class if they wanted to be. And so they chose not to be, and they've had the same friend group and things like that, but they haven't been in the same class in a long time, and you know, they like to be separate. They're very different people.
Yeah, we're going to talk about more about the kids being away at college, because especially now, like when you're into about a month of them being away, 3 weeks of them being away, this is the pivotal time. And I know that our boss, his daughter just went away to college too,
right?
And they said don't let them come home for 6 weeks. That was a big thing. Like, they sent an email to all the parents saying don't let them come home.
Yeah, 100%. I kind of agree with that. My wife actually is heading to Charleston next week to go see her, because she needs to go down there and see her. But Addie, my older daughter, she has parents weekend the first weekend of October, so we're going down there for that.
All right.
But yeah, they're not coming home yet, which is good, and I appreciate that. They, you know, it's good. They do call every hour or so.
I love that. That's so great.
Addie said to me the other day, she goes, okay, Dad, I did college. Can I come home now?
Yeah. Oh, that's sad.
But it made me happy. They miss home-cooked meals. He was like, what are you making on Sunday? Like, they, you know, I love that they now have this picture of this perfect life they had before they went to college.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? We did good as parents then.
It's an adjustment for everybody involved, I'm sure.
It's oddly quiet, and it feels quiet too. So,
You
know, it's weird. You'll see. You're getting there.
No, I don't want to get there, but it's coming. It's coming fast. All right. So Chef Plum will be with me for today and tomorrow. Thank you so much. And let's get this show going.
It's going to be fun.
It's such a strange thing when you ask somebody, hey, can you bring me a snack? And instead of them actually bringing a snack, they bring a case of tomatoes.
I thought it was a great snack. It's healthy. It's delicious. At that time of year. Come on.
Chef Plum is in for Raven. Raven's out. And Plum's a good friend of mine, and so I had no problem when I was texting him before he was coming in. I'm like, oh, bring me something good to eat.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. You would think by having a bestie that happens to be a chef that you would get all these delicious things to eat.
Oh, right.
Plum has cooked for me zero times.
That's not true.
I mean, here in the studio, but not like for real, like on a Friday.
Well, I mean, those are expensive days, Anna.
Right.
That's the ones that cost some money, you know. That's the money day. But you said a snack. I said, what could I bring Anna, my friend? I want her to be healthy. Mm-hmm. I want her to have nice vegetables and fruit. You know what I'll bring? A case of tomatoes.
Case of tomatoes. All right. I don't know what to do with these except put them out in the kitchen area so all our coworkers can take them home. But explain to me. And you said, well, you have to preserve the harvest because I said, what am I supposed to do with all these tomatoes? And you said freeze them. I had no idea that you could freeze tomatoes.
Freezing tomatoes works fantastic. We do because we have a garden at my house. My wife picks tomatoes. We have more tomatoes than you're supposed to have, especially for our family. I think we have 30 tomato plants or something going on in our house these days.
What?
Yeah,
why?
I don't know. It's a thing. I don't know. It's she likes to garden. She does a great job with it. So I can't get mad at it. And we get fresh tomatoes and fresh vegetables, which is amazing. Anyway, so we'll take the tomatoes, though, and I'll quarter them or I'll cut them in half. Or if they're small, like, you know, cherry tomatoes or sun golds, I'll keep them, you know, leave them whole and just freeze them. Throw them in a Ziploc bag and throw them in the freezer. They'll last at least a year, year and a half in the freezer.
A year and a half?
Sure.
You freeze your tomatoes?
You
and then
can.
How do you defrost them? What do you do? And what do you cook with them when you take them out of the freezer?
So it depends on the application. So what are we doing with? Are we making sauce? Then yeah, I'll take them right out of the freezer in the bag and just dump them in my pot after I've sauteed my onions and garlic and throw them right in there. They'll start to break down. You're adding moisture to it. You can always take moisture away easily by just bringing it to a boil. I do another dish where I get this awesome sheep's milk cheese. And I'll put it into a pan. The face you're making me right now is hilarious.
Well, no, I mean, like, this is like, what could a normal person make?
Yeah, this is it. It's a great dip.
Okay.
So you take feta cheese, a little bit of sheep's cheese, whatever you got. Throw it in a small, like,
I have none of the above. But okay.
Is there feta cheese?
Right. Well, okay. So feta cheese.
That's right.
Okay. You get feta cheese.
Right.
And you put it
into
a
your baking dish and then surround it with some of your frozen tomatoes from the garden, right? Throw it in the oven. It'll all start to melt down and turn brown. You can put garlic in there, a little bit of oregano in there if you want. Right? It'll start to melt down and kind of become this mixed amalgamation of just tomatoes and cheese. And it comes out and it's all bubbly and brown on top. And you take some like crusty bread and just dip it into it. It is one of the best and the easiest dips you can make. And you still have the flavor. Because listen, if you're a tomato snob like me, you understand that tomatoes in the summertime are different than tomatoes you might get, you know, growing in a lab somewhere in January.
Okay.
The flavor is completely different. So, you know, for me, freezing them and be able to get that garden tomato all year long, what's better than that?
Okay. So what you're telling me is by the fact that you brought an entire case of tomatoes here, you're doing it as a good friend and not just because these were lying around your house because your wife has 30 tomato plants and you didn't know what to do with
them.
No,
clearly these aren't you know, tomatoes from my wife. These are wonderful products from Canada that are going to be delicious for everybody to have a snack. That's what it says on the box.
That means he threw a party and he had a lot of leftovers. Well, true or false?
I'm not going to say yes or no, but I will say I brought my friend Anna a case of tomatoes I happen to have.
If anybody wants tomatoes, just let me know.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories. You only hear about one. And normally, Raven gets to pick it. But today, he is out. Chef Plum is in. Plum, are you ready for today's selection?
I love this because I feel like I get to be in charge of the news that everyone gets to hear.
Pick'em News is powered by Wayfair. Cozify your space with Wayfair's curated collection of easy, affordable fall updates from comfy recliners to cozy bedding and autumn decor. Find it all for way less at Wayfair.com. Okay, ready?
All right,
number one. Wrong way driver that sideswipes car insists husband was driving, no one else in the car.
Okay, that sounds interesting. What else you got?
Number two. Celebrity chef robs 3 banks in one day.
I mean, I think our par for celebrity chefs might be up, but that sounds crazy. But give me one more.
Drunk woman arrested for ordering Baconator at Popeyes.
Come on, is this really even a choice, Anna? Honestly, like, I gotta go with Baconator. Let's see what she's talking about.
So here's the funny part. I knew that Plum was going to choose the Baconator thing because
that mean?
Because you're like so Plum is a chef to celebrities and like foo-foo kind of bougie people. True or false?
I mean, that's true.
True or false?
That's true. That's true.
Right. You eat more fast food than anybody I've ever met.
What?
And I think it's so funny.
What
that
are you
talking
about?
You make all this fancy stuff, but you love junk food. It's so funny to me.
I mean, easy food I'm into. Like, listen, you want to catch me a driving home after doing a late night dinner? You think I'm not going to stop for a 12-pack of tacos from Taco Bell and just scarf it down while I'm driving? Of course I am.
Okay. Anyway, so there's a man in Florida was waiting in the drive-thru line at Popeyes. Popeyes, mind you. When a drunk woman walked up to the window and demanded a Baconator.
I just want the order that I came here with a whole mess of bacon in.
What, who you came, how you got here?
How did you get, what are you doing standing in this line? And why are you ordering a Baconator here at Popeyes when you get that at Wendy's? This isn't Wendy's.
There's no Baconator at Popeyes.
No, there's none. Not. There's,
I mean, maybe the Popeyes Baconator with bacon and chicken might be delicious, but
there's not.
They don't have that.
Right. So, you know, they try to explain it to the woman. And this guy, he just continues because he's trying to help her out. He's like, well, like, you don't look like you're from around here.
You walk from
I walked
where?
Here. You want to give me a fist bump for waiting 15 minutes?
Where you from? You not from around here.
I'm from California.
They better give you a food.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. They got to give you a food.
What are we cheering about? They're in Tampa, Florida. And they're like, oh, you got good food in California. What are you doing here in Tampa, Florida?
Well, she came all the way just to get a Baconator.
From Popeyes.
The Popeyes Baconator. That's what she wanted.
Sad news, though. Cops show up. Oh, here come 5-0.
I just want my Baconator meal. That's all I care about.
What are you doing?
Baconator meal.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go.
And then he arrests her.
The cop shows up. Hey, what are you doing? She goes, Baconator meal. Like, you just start naming things off to the police. And that's what are you doing? It didn't sound like was there a verb in there? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
She was just like, give me a Baconator. All right. For an aficionado like you who lives on fast food. What's your favorite fast food go-to place and item that you order?
That kind of depends on where I'm at and what time of year it is. Mm-hmm. But Taco Bell is always a go-to for me. I love a good Taco Bell.
I find it interesting that you choose Taco Bell.
Why?
To me, Taco Bell, and I say this with all due respect because trust me, I've had plenty of Taco Bell in my life and I love myself a Taco Supreme. But I think it's like lower on the scale.
What?
Yeah, like I would thought you would be like a little, like to me, In-N-Out. Or Chick-fil-A, it's a slightly higher grade of fast food.
Fair, and there are more Chick-fil-A's, you know, all over the place these days. But you know, I don't know. I think it's probably it.
All right, Taco Bell. You're ordering one thing at Taco Bell. What's it going to be?
I mean, burrito supreme and two soft taco supremes. Let's go.
True or false? Is there a way that you can eat a bowl of pasta and not gain any weight besides having superhero metabolism?
I mean, it has to be metabolism, right? It has to be.
So interestingly enough, on the red carpet of Emmys on Sunday, Justine Lupe, she's one of the co-stars on Nobody Wants This, that series with Kristen Bell on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I love that show, by the way. It's hilarious. I can't wait for season two. But anyway, she was asked on the red carpet if Kristen Bell ever gave her any advice. And ironically, she didn't start talking about acting. She says she's like a biometric hacker. She knows how to eat things where you don't gain any weight. And one of the tips that she said was about eating pasta.
She says have spinach or green or some sort of leafy, fibery thing or Metamucil and a shot of apple cider vinegar. Or you have a bunch of carbohydrates and it supposedly stabilizes your glucose. And you can thank Kristen Bell for that, everyone.
What? And you want to know what? All the dietitians are weighing in and they all agree. So before you eat a ginormous bowl of pasta, you're supposed to either eat leafy greens like kale or salad.
The fiber, okay. Yeah.
Or you have to take a shot of apple cider vinegar with Metamucil, which I'm like, if you're given the option, who chooses the Metamucil?
Yeah. And right? Like, I mean, nothing, I don't know, like just saying I'm going to use Metamucil doesn't sound, it just sounds kind of gross. So you can just say that, doesn't it? Like the connotation.
Ma, is the pasta almost ready? I got to take my apple cider vinegar shot. It's time. Oh, gosh. Eat a salad. Eat a kale salad.
I mean, I kind of agree with you. The salad. I mean, I get the fiber part. I get what that would do. And the vinegar part makes sense as well to help the gut biome, as they call it. But I don't know about the Metamucil. I mean, I feel like you're kind of overdoing it then. I mean, honestly, do you not want your body to digest anything? You just want to let it, I don't know.
I don't know. But it works. Apparently, that works.
So. Allegedly.
Allegedly. But, you know, Chef Plum, you're a chef. So
I am.
You should know a lot about myths when it comes to food and cooking. I have pulled up some common cooking myths, and I want you to tell me if it's true or false. And I've asked my best friend, ChatGPT, the answers to these, so I'll be able to know right away if you're right or if you're wrong.
I think we should name your ChatGPT.
I call it my best friend.
Yeah, okay. I know. Clearly, it's uncomfortable for all of us.
All right. So, true or false? You should rinse raw chicken before cooking.
Yeah, that's false. There's no need to do that.
That's right. You don't need to do that. Why do people think that you're supposed to cook it? You're supposed to wash it?
Well, they just think that, oh, we got to clean everything up before we use it. And so most of the time, if you go put it in the sink, it splashes raw chicken juice and stuff all over the sink and all over outside the sink. You never really wipe it up properly. It's just, you don't need to do it. Stop rinsing your chicken.
Salt water boils faster.
Salt water boils faster?
Yep.
I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm going to say possibly because maybe it changes the weight of the water. Yeah, and it doesn't really matter.
No, it says adding salt actually makes water boil at a slightly higher temperature, so it takes longer, but I guess it does add flavor, right?
Yeah, I mean, you should, if you're cooking any kind of pasta or potatoes, the water should taste like the ocean.
Okay.
Always.
Like a dirty martini. That's what I always say. I like that. I like that. All bacteria dies when it's frozen.
All bacteria dies when, yeah, it's true. Oh, no.
What kind of chef are you? No, it says freezing only stops bacteria from multiplying. It doesn't kill it. Thawing it lets it grow again. Ew.
Wait, who told you that? That's not true.
ChatGPT, my best friend.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Stop it.
Okay.
Listen.
All right. If you have a cooking myth, 1-800-330-9999. We're going to debunk it or confirm it with Chef Plum. If you take a shot of apple cider vinegar with Metamucil before you eat a bowl of pasta, according to the nutritionist and actress Kristen Bell, you're not going to gain any weight from the pasta.
Kristen Bell is who I'm leaning towards when it goes to nutritional tips, for sure. She's the foremost authority.
Chef Plum is in for Raven today, and we want to know, what's the food myth that you've always heard growing up and you listen to, and Chef Plum is either going to confirm it or deny it? 1-800-330-9999. Leslie, go ahead.
Okay, so searing meat still in the juices. Is that true or is that just an exaggerated concept?
Okay, this is false. This is just someone said this at some point in time 25 years ago or 100 years ago, and it's just not true at all. It doesn't do anything. What it does do is create the Maillard reaction. So proteins don't caramelize. Proteins do the Maillard reaction, which is what that browning is that comes on the outside of it. Now, what that does do is add a lot of flavor to the meat, but searing in juices, no, that's not a real thing.
Are you sure?
100%.
So last night, you know, I don't know how to cook anything. I bought a piece of beef and it said oven roasted and then it said beef, but it was on sale. And I saw like all the other ladies were buying it. So I bought it too. So I went to my good friend ChatGPT and I say, what do I do with this? How do I cook this? Because I only make steak on the grill and I've never made a roast beef before.
You have a very close personal friend of yours who is a award-winning chef you could have called.
ChatGPT is an app on my phone which gives me an answer instantaneously. But anyway, so I ask it and it told me to sear it.
Yep.
So I've seared it with garlic and oil and salt. And I didn't put pepper, even though it told me to put pepper, because as you've taught me, pepper burns
pepper
in the pan.
Burn.
And I seared it. I thought to myself, this is so the juices. And then I put it in the oven to bake. And when I took it out and I cut it, all the juices came pouring out. And I said, that's because I seared it shut.
Oh, no.
That's
no.
not why?
That's a mistake you made. The juices came pouring out because you didn't rest the piece of meat.
Oh, no, I let it sit for 3 minutes.
No. You just got to let it sit for like 15, 20 minutes. Like 3 minutes. What happens is if you touch something hot, think about what happens. You touch it, you pull your arm away. It's hot. It burns. Your muscles are tense, right?
Yeah.
As a piece of meat is cooking, it's a muscle. It gets tense. So when you take it out of the oven, it's still super tense. So if you cut it, it's like a balloon. The juices just go everywhere. You've got to let it relax so those juices go back through the meat and get redistributed properly. If you cut it early, that's where all the juices come flying out of it. So I'll bet what happened later on, when you tried to eat it for dinner, it was dry.
It was disgusting.
There,
I mean, I still ate it because it was there, but
it was on sale.
It was not good, and I figured I probably did something
but
wrong.
If you had just seared it, and then, you know, after you took it out of the oven, let it rest, then cut it, it would have been delicious.
So hungry, though, and it took so long to cook. All right, so what we've learned, myth, searing meat does not seal in the juices. Mike, give us a food myth, and we'll either confirm it or deny it. Go ahead.
I believe you should just flip the food once on the grill to make sure that the meat is tender.
So I'm a big fan of don't play with your meat. Let it on the grill. Let it sear and do its thing, right? But the flipping it once is kind of a bit of a misnomer. There are people who will say, yes, just flip it one time. But the problem is, if you want to get those beautiful like hashtag marks, those grill marks on it, you have to flip it more than once. So the idea here is don't constantly flip it back and forth, but don't be afraid. Like, these are crazy things that people just say that make you like, oh, I shouldn't do it more than once while I'm cooking just to mess you up. You know, I mean, you don't need to think about it like that. Cook it to how you like it. It's more about the temperature. Touch it, feel it, see where it's at before you decide if you want to keep moving it around.
Yeah. And also something you had taught me was that one time when I was making grilled chicken on the grill, it fell apart. I got the thin slice ones.
Yeah.
And like when I tried to flip it, it got stuck to the grill, even though I put the oil on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it's because I tried to flip it too early.
Correct.
So that was an interesting thing, is that if you try to flip chicken too early, you'll destroy your meat.
If you watch the chicken breast as you're grilling them, the outside of the chicken breast, the sides of it will start to turn white, and you'll see almost like a little bit of the moisture coming out on the white side of the breast. That's when you can flip it. It tells you when it's ready. If it sticks, let it go a little bit longer.
Okay.
Talk to your meat. It's your friend.
I'm not its friend. I'm not talking to my meat, but all right.
You talk to your food? I talk to my food.
Of course you do. Want to eat 13 pounds of pasta and never gain a pound?
Always.
Yep. Before you do it, just take a shot of apple cider vinegar with Metamucil.
Oof, that mixture just doesn't sound like fun. And then pasta? I don't know.
That's what Kristen Bell says that she does. It's a biometric hack. And oddly enough, the nutritionists say, yeah, no, that'll work.
They just might like Kristen Bell and don't want her to be mad at them.
Chef Plum is in for Raven today. So if you have a food myth that you've heard your whole life, he's going to debunk it or confirm it. Stacey.
All right. So I took some steaks out to cook for my family, and they were pretty big. And there was one whole steak that I didn't cook. So I put it back in the freezer, and now I'm nervous to take it out and defrost it and eat it. I don't know if it's unhealthy or if it's going to taste gross. So is that okay to defrost and then refreeze and then defrost again?
My answer would be yes. If it's still surviving in your freezer, then let's go ahead and just eat it and see what happens.
So you're taught normally you don't want to refreeze meat after you've done it. You know, after you pulled it out and let it thaw, refreezing it again, generally not the best idea. Are you going to be fine with it? Yeah, you're probably going to be fine. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you, no, you're going to get sick and die. But honestly, you're probably going to be okay. But I would make a habit of doing it. You just refreezing it kind of degrades the quality of meat. It's going to make it tougher in the end.
All right, good. I don't have to throw away expensive steak.
Right. So the answer is you're not going to die, but you're not really supposed to do it.
No, like my serve safe training says, yeah, we probably really shouldn't do that, but you're doing it at your house. It's fine.
All right, Big Al, give us a food myth and Chef Plum will either debunk it or confirm it.
Well, I've always heard that alcohol just completely cooks off when you're using the sauces. It evaporates.
Yeah, that's true, actually. So alcohol does completely evaporate and it leaves behind the solids, right? So it's like, you think about this. When something boils at 212 degrees, that's the point in time where a liquid then becomes a gas. So the water evaporates out. Alcohol is the same thing. So it goes away, leaving behind all those solids and extra flavors. So you do actually can burn off the alcohol. It's a true story. So people who can't have alcohol actually can have it in their sauce as long as it's burned off properly.
Okay. All right, Petra, how about you? Give me a food myth and Plum is going to debunk it or confirm it.
So I learned this when I was really young, that oil actually prevents pasta from sticking together. You got to put it in the water with the pasta.
Oh, I've heard a lot of people doing this.
Yeah, absolutely not. It does nothing. As a matter of fact, if you put too much oil in the water can actually get hotter than 212 degrees and overcook your pasta.
Really?
So, yeah, because it doesn't give any place for the gas to escape. So it kind of creates a whole different environment down there where it starts to rain the water back down, where it can get too hot because the air heats up. Anyway, water and oil are not friends. They should never go together. It doesn't do anything. However, after you cook your pasta and you strained it and you've got it in the colander, throw a little olive oil in it then and it won't stick.
Producer Sean, our old producer, mm-hmm. He taught me a trick. So, you know, like when the water boils over when you're making pasta sometimes, when you're not watching it, all of a sudden you hear that and then you look and there's just like your stove is a mess. He said that if you take oil and you put it on paper towel and you rub it around the top inside, it doesn't boil over if you rub it around the pot.
You know, I've never tried that, but it makes sense. It makes sense that it would work. You know, it's kind of the same thing when it starts to boil over. Also, if you blow the top of it like that over top of it, it'll stop immediately.
Huh.
Because you're taking away that temperature off the top of it and you're cooling it down a couple degrees.
Look how much we're learning today. We're so smart.
Right? Or put a wooden spoon on top of it. It also works. But yeah,
put a wooden spoon inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also works. But yeah, don't put oil in your water. They're not friends. Just finish it afterwards. It does nothing.
And take shots of apple cider vinegar every day before you eat a bowl of pasta. That's what we've learned today, Plum.
It just says indigestion to me.
The medium rare on one side, we have four medium rare.
Wait, what do you say? Medium rare or medium well?
Medium rare.
What's he saying?
It's hilarious.
Nobody knows.
Oh my gosh.
The medium rare on one side, we have four medium rare.
Wait, what do you say? Medium rare or medium well?
Medium rare.
This video has gone viral. It's been seen about 7,000 bazillion times. It's a chef and he's on a cooking show. And they're asking him, like, how do you cook it? And he says,
the medium rare on one side, we have four medium rare.
Wait, what do you say? Medium rare or medium well?
Medium rare.
What is he saying? Plum. Chef Plum is in for Raven. Raven's out today. What's that dude saying?
I mean, first of all, can we not call him a chef? Like, he could
he's
be a cook. He's like probably a cook, and, you know, come on.
He's on a show doing cooking
stuff.
That
doesn't mean anything.
All right.
But my guess is,
yeah.
Can I hear it one more time? Is it, can we just?
Yeah, totally. We can hear it 100,000 times. I've been playing it in the studio all day.
The medium rare on one side. We have four medium rare. Four medium rare.
Wait, what do you say? Medium rare or medium well?
Medium rare.
It's medium rare. Is that somewhere in between a medium rare and a medium well? It's a medium where?
Well, so, yeah, it's a medium where. Where is it?
I don't know. Who knows where it is?
He does say full. It sounds like he says full medium rare, which isn't a thing, but full medium well kind of sounds more like it would be a thing.
I have a question for you, and we're going to learn something. Also, while Plum is here and sitting in, if you have any food questions, you can just call at any time. 1-800-330-9999. He's literally doing nothing except sitting in that seat. He's more than happy to take your calls and answer any food questions that you have.
Thanks.
I'm kidding, of course. But when I order steak,
yeah,
I order it medium rare plus.
Okay.
Is that a real thing? Because I ordered it at a steakhouse that I don't typically go to.
Right.
And they said to me, ma'am, that is not a real temperature.
I know what you mean, and I've heard people say that. But in ordering steak temperatures, it's not really a thing. We're adding things to it for no reason. It's like you want it medium rare, but just like a little bit more cooked than medium rare, right?
Right. Right. I don't want it completely raw in the middle, but I want it a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's basically a...
Or medium well.
It's a medium well. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about terminology. There's a lot of times that you come on the show and you use words that I've never heard before when it comes to cooking.
Right.
And there should be some, I don't know, some definitions. So give me one of them.
All right. Well, the first one I'm going to give you right off the bat is, and it's an easy one, and you're going to think, wow, everyone should know this, but you'd be surprised. Dice. It's a very, very simple one. Dice, right? To dice something. However, you have three different types of dice, small, medium, and large. So when you're talking about cutting something up, if I say dice, you know what I'm talking about. But if I say a small dice, okay, or medium dice, okay, now you understand it's probably going to be a little bit bigger than smaller. It just makes more sense. So understand the terms dice.
Dice. Also, I don't know if this is on your list. You always use the term mirepoix.
I do.
What is mirepoix again for people that don't know?
So mirepoix is carrots, onions, and celery. And usually it's used in any kind of stock, soup, sauce, roast.
And they're diced.
Yeah, it just depends on how you're cooking it. But yes, yes. I mean, you can be like a small dice, a large dice. But yes, it's to add a lot of flavor, a lot of background flavor.
I went to the grocery store this past weekend, and it was the first time I'd ever seen in the chopped vegetable section.
Pre-cut, ready to go.
And on it, it said mirepoix. And I was shocked because I was like, I'd never seen that term used like in a grocery store before.
Right. Well, yeah, it's great.
Give me another one.
Brunoise. A brunoise is even smaller than a small dice. It's tiny, tiny little like cubes cut. It's a very important dish for cut for like a clear soup or a garnish. Perfect brunoise.
Brunoise. I'll never use that word ever in my life. One more.
Fond. F-O-N-D. Fond are the little brown bits that form on the bottom of the pan when you sear something. You got to deglaze that to get all that extra flavor out. F-O-N-D. Fond.
The medium rare on one side. We have four medium rare. Four medium rare.
Wait, what do you say? Medium rare or medium well?
Medium rare.
You can decide what that means for yourself. A lot of controversy over this.
ABC have suspended Jimmy Kimmel's late night show indefinitely over comments that he made on his show Monday night about Charlie Kirk's death.
I mean, needless to say, it's very controversial. People are all over on whether they think it's right or not. But I think the other question is late night talk over? The ratings have plummeted over the years, and it doesn't matter politically what you think and what they're saying, but just because we have so many streaming options at this point,
right?
Do you think anybody still cares to watch those interviews or any of that stuff?
I don't think so. I mean, you can get this stuff anywhere now on social media. I mean, they make this to make social media clips because they're getting more views on that than they're getting on their actual TV show.
It's,
you know?
True. It's like there's the clips that go viral and everybody watches those clips, and it's like 10 million times more than anybody actually watched the show.
Yeah, I don't
which
think...
Which is sad in a way.
But that's with all TV. It's all kind of just going that direction now, you know?
Yeah. Also trending, Cardi B. She's pregnant with baby number 4.
That's your girl.
Yeah. I love Cardi because... I could listen to her talk all day and just giggle and giggle. And this was something I thought was really surprising. She did an interview where she announced that she was pregnant with Gail King. And she said,
come on, I haven't even told my parents.
No way, Cardi.
I haven't told my parents. They just be looking at me like,
Cardi, wait. Back up. Why haven't you told them?
Because I'm scared of them.
I'm very scared of my parents.
I understand that. I mean, I get that. It doesn't matter how old you are. When you have certain kind of parents, you are afraid of them till the day you die. I am a grown woman with two children, and I am afraid of my parents. If they tell me to do something, if they tell Paul, my husband, to do something, it's going to get done, and it's going to get done quickly.
I mean, I think the respect level and scare are two different things. Like, being respectful and respecting your parents is great, but no grown adult should be afraid of another adult. It just shouldn't happen.
Unless it's your mom and dad. Unless it's your mom or dad.
I don't think so. I don't know. Okay, well, listen. I feel bad for Miss B and her grown adultism as she's afraid of her parents and she's going to now raise children. Who am I kidding? She's not raising any kids. Someone else will raise
them. I think she's a hands-on mom. I watch a lot of her stuff. Does she probably have 700 nannies? Yep. But I think she's a really good mom. If you watch her videos, I believe that. And she always says she's going to keep having babies because she needs somebody to wipe her behind when she gets older so she doesn't end up in a home.
Oh, my gosh.
This is her fourth child. Her first three were with Offset, the rapper. They went through a terrible, messy, way too public divorce not too long ago. Stefon Diggs, if you're not familiar with him, he plays for the Patriots. So that's that. But he's kind of crazy too. So all I could think about, I got a text from my best friend yesterday. She's like, I can't wait to see this baby. This baby's going to be off the walls. So we'll see.
Wow.
She does a good job of keeping them in the not public eye though.
Well, that's good. But she's just afraid to tell her parents still. So.
Well, no, I'm sure she told them now. Also trending, Spirit Airlines. They have been dragged in the news lately, but a Spirit Airlines flight had to be warned to move further away because it got too close to Air Force One over Long Island.
This is hilarious.
So listen to them. Listen.
Spirit 1300, turn 20 degrees right, vector traffic and descent.
So first it's like your parents scolding you. With, you got to move 16 degrees right. Well, you're too close to Air Force One. And then...
Pay attention, Spirit 1300, turn 20 degrees right.
Pay attention. I'm talking to you. This is Air Force One.
Oh, it's awful.
And then...
I got to talk to you twice every time. Spirit 1300, Boston 134.0. Pay attention. Get off the iPad.
I mean, they straight got scolded. Listen to this. Hold on.
Nothing worse than having an adult tell you to pay attention.
Well, right.
Every time. Spirit 1300, Boston 134.0. Pay attention. Get off the iPad.
Pay attention. Get off the iPad. I mean, when was the last time you got scolded at work? You got scolded like that.
I mean, it's been a long time, but as a chef, I was a young cook coming up. I got yelled at a lot.
Yeah.
And, yelled at, had pans thrown at me. It was very much a learning business,
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the good news. We get yelled at here every single day. We're immune to it at this point. We're not afraid of our bosses. I'm afraid of my mom, but I'm not afraid of our bosses.
So funny.
Rules of the grocery store. If you could improve American way of life, what rule would you implement when you went grocery shopping? I was surprised when I heard a woman talking about when she went to Europe and what they did in England.
The thing I couldn't comprehend is the fact that you had to bring a coin in order to get a shopping cart.
So apparently what you do is you have to put a coin and you give a deposit when you take a cart, and then you have to get your coin back, you have to return the cart.
Well, I mean, this isn't a new thing. Think about going to the airport when you rent one of those little carts to carry your luggage in somewhere. You have to pay for it and then you get a deposit back if you bring the cart back.
Yeah, no, I understand the concept of it, but I've never seen that at a grocery store before. But then producer Julie, you were saying you grew up in New Jersey and this was a common there.
Yeah, you always had a quarter in your car because you'd go to the little corral. You put the quarter into the little square deposit bank and then it would give you the cart and then it locks it back up when you bring it back to the corral when you're done.
Did you say the corral?
Yeah, it's like a little square thing in the grocery store parking lot.
There's corrals in Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of corral like being at home on the range kind of thing.
No.
Am I wrong?
I think... Well, first of all, who has a quarter anymore?
That's true.
Right, because you've been bred this way. I've never even heard of such a thing. But the thing that caught my attention when we were talking about this is that I always return the cart. I think that the only two exceptions there are, I'll give it three. Three exceptions that you don't return your cart at a grocery store, whether or not you care about getting your quarter back or your pound or whatever, money you deposit.
Your pound.
Is that if you have, isn't that what they have in Europe, a pound?
Are you sure?
Yeah. Is that if you have a baby and you don't want to leave your baby unattended in the car while you return the cart, fine. If you're elderly and it's too far for you, I got it. It's fine. They should make a way that it's easier for you. Or if you're hurt and you have a broken leg, which at that point you probably shouldn't be driving your car anyway, then okay, fine. But besides that, you should return your cart. And then Chef Plum, what did you tell me?
Well, if you spend, a couple $100,000 in the grocery store a year, for your work and for your home life, I think it's probably fine. If it's not easily a place to corral my carts to bring them back, then no, it's going to sit right there by my car. I'm not taking it back.
You bougie, terrible person.
I know.
How can you imagine? Because he has to go. He has to go grocery shopping all the time. But how do you not bring your cart back?
If they don't have like the little like teepee place where you can like put the carts in, you know, close by to where your car is, then no, I'm not doing that.
Julie, how do you feel about this?
Why? Like, there's somebody whose job you just made so much harder because they have to now go fetch your little cart that you left in East Jibib down the hall.
with one wheel up on the curb. You think that's going to prevent it from wheeling away?
But here's what
car.
You guys are all missing. I'm also giving that one person who does that a chance to walk outside of the store and get away from the job for a few minutes. Trust me, as a person who's worked on hospitality his whole life.
No, you're so
they
kind.
They appreciate
so
that.
So kind.
I'm telling you, they appreciate that for sure.
You know, when you're driving in the parking lot and you think you got the one spot that's open and you pull in and it's got a cart sitting in front of it.
That was Chef Plums. Yeah,
It's out of the way. I don't leave it in the parking spot.
Everybody heard you're a terrible person. Okay, if there was one rule that you think America as a whole should implement to make your grocery shopping experience more civil, what do you think it should be, Julie?
Well, I think grocery stores should allow a free sample of every item they offer that you could purchase, so that you know what you're buying before you buy it.
Okay.
I would love that because then you'd be able to know and I wouldn't have to return 3 Ritz packets that I didn't like.
It would be such a long trip at the grocery store every time I went.
Oh, but I would enjoy it so much more.
All right. Plum, what would be your rule?
Yeah, mine's really, really simple. I think it's important that we implement some sort of kind of like how we have laws on the road when we drive cars. Same thing in the grocery store when we're pushing carts. There needs to be stoplights, stop signs, yielding to the people on the right. You stay on your side. Yeah, I stay on my side. Like, let's just keep it that way. All right. Very simple.
1-800-330-9999. If you either want to A, tell Chef Plum what a terrible person he is, or B, you have a rule of the grocery store you think we should implement across our country.
Lines in the aisles so we can know which side. All right, sorry, I'll stop.
1-800-330-9999. Chef Plum is in for Raven. Raven's out today. He said that he doesn't have to return the carts at the grocery store because he spends a lot of money there, so he doesn't have to. He's exempt from the rule.
That's not exactly how I said it.
Kind
of. I mean, it's the gist of it, but it's not exactly how I said it. I mean, if there's no place to put the cart easily, then yes, I'm gonna leave it neatly tucked away, not like in the middle.
Or you can call 1-800-330-9999 and tell Chef Plum how terrible he is. But also, the whole reason why this comes up when we were talking about it off the air yesterday is that there was a viral video, and in the video, it was a woman talking about how in Europe, in London,
right,
all the carts, you have to pay a deposit to get the cart back. And I had never seen that before, but it's smart. So people return the cart where they're supposed to go, and it eliminates this problem.
It's brilliant, I think.
Yeah. So 1-800-330-9999. What is the rule that you think across the country we should implement? Or you could take Plum and just bash him and tell him how he should be returning his cart.
I'm sensitive. That hurts.
Hi, it's Anna on Raven. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Andrea. And have you never been to Aldi's before?
Oh, I've been to an Aldi before. Great store.
I've never been to an Aldi's in my life. Never.
They have the quarter that you put in the cart.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But what if you don't have a quarter? Then you just can't have a cart? You have to hold all the items in your arms?
And you got to like pull your shirt out like a basket and just load the shirt up as you're walking.
Yeah.
You have to go back to the corral and look for a quarter, I guess.
I can't find one on the ground. All right, Ted, you can either tell Chef Plum how terrible he is, or you could tell us a rule at the grocery store that should be implemented across the U.S.
I have a rule, and I want to tell Chef how terrible of a person he is.
Please, go right ahead. Go. I love it. Go.
The rule is that if you leave your cart in the middle of the aisle when you're looking for things, I should be able to ram your cart.
Absolutely. You should push it over, get it out of the way. I couldn't agree more.
Exactly.
Don't block the aisle.
There's no reason to do that. I have a 4-year-old son, and since he could talk, we always push the cart back to where it's supposed to go in the parking lot. And we have a saying that he says. He says, we always put our carts away because it's nobody else's job.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't even rhyme. That's not a good kid saying.
I did think it was going to rhyme, Ted. I'm not going to lie. But I'll give your son the props.
It doesn't have to rhyme.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to rhyme, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Don't thank him. He was mean to me.
No, I asked for that. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Eric.
Eric, you're on with Chef Plum. Tell him how terrible he is.
First off, he's not terrible. I just get more exercise picking out the wagon he left and then taking it in.
That's right. There we go.
I'm the guy who helps him out. See? It's a symbiotic relationship. He leaves it in the stall. I park next to it. I grab it and I go.
He gets it. He understands. Yeah, here's don't you feel silly, Anna.
Yeah. So here's the thing I don't like. Mm-hmm. It's garbage anywhere, especially in the carts. Those are the people that annoy the snot out of me. I'll leave a flyer. I'll leave bags in the carts, or I'll leave them on the ground.
And that's completely agreeable. I couldn't agree more. And either like the shopping list, or there's like a crumpled piece of paper. Maybe they had a few slices of bologna while they were shopping, just left the packet and the deli paper sitting in the cart.
Yeah.
Gross.
No, Eric, you're 100% right. And then you never take that cart because you don't want the cart with somebody's garbage in it.
Yeah, no one wants that cart.
Right. And that's like the only one that has four working wheels, of course. Yeah. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, that's a good rule. You got to clean your garbage out of the cart. Margaret, first of all, tell Plum how terrible he is.
Well, listen.
I don't think he's terrible. Maybe he's just been spoiled growing up.
Whoa! Wait a second.
That's my kind of girl right
Wait
there.
Wait a second.
All right, your turn. 1-800-330-9999 if you want to tell Chef Plum how terrible he is, or if you have a suggestion for a new rule that across the country should be implemented so we're more civil at the grocery store, what would it be? They make you pay a deposit to get your cart at a grocery store. I had never seen it before, but apparently there's a lot of places across the country that do that.
Yeah, I guess it's not like an odd thing to see.
But we were talking about this, and Chef Plum revealed that he doesn't believe he has to return the grocery carts when he's grocery shopping because he spends so much money at the grocery store.
Well, listen, quick. Yeah, I don't think I'm wrong.
What do you think? You can tell him he's wrong. And also, we're looking for rules that we can spread across the country of shopping at the grocery store that make us more civilized. Suzanne, first tell Plum how terrible he is.
Oh, come on.
Chef Plum, I just want you to win. And
oh, your phone's breaking up, Suzanne.
Just have to park, you have to park near the corral. And then you feel too bad.
There's that word corral again. I don't know what she
That's
said.
That's what they call it.
I think she agrees with me.
Return the carts. It's called a corral.
I'm pretty sure she said, listen, if the corral's nowhere nearby.
The car returns.
Yes.
The car returns. And also, a good rule is, my grandpa used to tell me, we leave things cleaner than we find them.
That doesn't rhyme either.
I like it, though. That's a good one.
Listen.
It's true.
But the whole caveat.
Kids understand it.
Thank you, Suzanne. Go ahead, Mildred. Tell Plum how terrible he is, unless you agree with him.
Which she probably does. Next call.
No, I do not. I think that, you know, I remember, I'll give you an example. I remember one time my dad telling me, a man that drives horrible like that in the street is not a good person. Yeah. And I say the same thing about people who leave carts in the middle anywhere. You have no consideration and no sympathy because the wind can blow it into a car and you will be responsible because I saw that on Judge Judy.
Yeah, you saw that on Judge Judy. She knows for a fact.
All right.
Thank you, Mildred. Do you have a rule that you think we should implement across the board as well?
You know what? I like the rule that for 50 cents you get a car, you want your money back, put it back.
All right. Thanks, Mildred.
She said she saw it on Judge Judy, so she knows it's a rule.
Right.
Stop it.
That's a real thing now.
Come on.
What are you looking at on your phone? You keep looking at your phone.
So I just got a text from my wife, and she says, what's the one thing?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Is Kelly not happy? Because I can't imagine why. Go ahead.
I don't think I did anything wrong. She goes, what's the one thing your spouse does that you absolutely don't agree with and don't want to, quote, own? My answer, not return his cart at the grocery store.
Yeah, no, I know.
She's very upset with me right now.
I can only imagine.
She's very upset with me right now.
So now that you've revealed that, will you return the cart to where it's supposed to go?
I am going to reconsider my carts where they go when I'm at the grocery store, and I will make sure it gets put away now because I'll remember this and all the phone calls and all these wonderful people calling me terrible names.
See? Don't you feel like we've accomplished something today?
We did something here today. We've changed the way I look at this, and we will make that happen, and I'll spend less money at the grocery store.
In other words, you're in trouble with Kelly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What couple?
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. She can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Okay, Melanie and Tyson. Melanie, what's going on?
Hi. So my niece has been wanting a new laptop, and my sister, her mother, doesn't want her to have one. She feels like it's a waste of money. She feels like the current laptop that she does have is perfectly fine for what she needs it for as far as doing work and everything. And I personally just would like to just go ahead and gift my niece the new laptop that she would like.
Okay. And Tyson, why do you have a problem with that?
Because her mama said no. But that's why. I mean, that's her child. I'm not going against a mother. You know what I mean? That's just like, that's like trying to take some food away from a mother bear who's trying to feed her cub. And I don't want her mama thinking that we overstepping our boundaries. I just don't want to hear it. I don't want the conflict. So, I mean, that's her sister. But I feel it's going to be a problem. So I just say no.
I mean, Melanie, he brings up a good point. If your sister says she can't have it, why do you want to intervene and get it for her anyway?
You know, my sister and I, growing up in the same household, she's a little bit like our mother who would resist, you know, buying us anything. And our dad would always kind of convince our mother, like, sometimes it's okay, you know, especially when you're good kids and you don't really ask for much, just to kind of give them just a little bit of something that brings them a little bit of joy. And I just feel like on the technical side, it would just help her in the long run as technology keeps advancing and she gets to stay on top of things. And the more she's able to have access to it, the better.
I don't know, Anna. I feel like if one parent has, this is how we're going to do things, you kind of don't want to get in the middle of that. You got to just kind of stay out of it, whether you're family or whether you're not. You know,
well, unless you're the favorite aunt, then nothing applies. Then you do whatever you want.
I just don't think you want to interject there, because you're going to start a whole World War 17 with the family. Because trust me, I say 17 because if you're with this family, you've had lots of wars, you can tell.
Let me get some clarification. Melanie, she wants this new laptop. Is there something wrong with her old laptop, or is it just a matter of money? Why doesn't she want her to have the new one?
They're expensive.
My sister just feels like the laptop that she has is just beneficial enough for just doing her basic homework.
Okay.
Nothing's that basic anymore. You do need a good computer, like, but come on. I mean, if the parent says no, it's the parent's problem, not the aunt's problem.
Well, what do you think? If Melanie wants to step in and gift her niece something like this, would you give it to her just because you love your niece and you can afford it and you want to give her something that she's going to use in school? Or is Tyson right? It's 100% not her position to do something when mom already said no. 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. 'What rights do you have as the favorite aunt? Melanie and Tyson, their niece, Melanie's sister's daughter, asked Melanie for a new laptop because her mom said no. Mom says the laptop you have is fine. You don't need a new one. Just keep using the one you're using. And Melanie says she's in high school. She wants a cooler laptop. I'm just going to get it for her.
Ooh, slippery slope. I got to just say, I mean, I think you're starting a whole family fight there. Family feud, if you will.
That's exactly what her husband Tyson says. Your sister said, no, you can't do it. She says, it's my sister and I'm the favorite aunt. I can do what I want.
Mm.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Nick.
I think that lady is stepping way over her bounds. I mean, leave it alone. That's going to create such problems. Husband's right.
All right. Thanks, Nick. I remember my cousin, all her children, all four of them are my godchildren.
Right.
And I do everything in my power to secure my position as the favorite aunt.
Okay.
And their parents said no to a trampoline in the backyard. And
you did not.
They came to me, and normally I would immediately buy the trampoline, but they were so adamant that they could not have one of those. It was going to be a liability.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy it. And you know what? They gave in a year later. And I should have just bought it. I should have just done it.
Well, I get. Listen, if it comes to the safety, it has to be their call, not your. Not the awesome aunt's call.
I'm just kidding, Ange. But wait till I bring home a bearded dragon to your house tomorrow. All right. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's a couple's court. When you're the favorite aunt, you'll do anything for those nieces and nephews that you love so much.
You got to, like, keep your status, right?
Yes. And that's what happens to be the problem between Melanie and Tyson. Their niece, Melanie's sister's daughter, asked her aunt Melanie for a laptop. She wants a new laptop. She's in high school. The one she has is old and busted. And mom said, no, what you have works just fine. You don't need a shiny new Mac. The couple's court verdict is powered by T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status.
I get it, though. That shiny new computer really is helpful when you first get it. And it looks great. But hey, if the mom says no,
Well, Melanie says her sister's being unreasonable, and what's the big deal? She's more than happy to buy this laptop for her niece. But Tyson says, Mom said no, you have to learn your boundaries. You're not this girl's mom.
Yeah, overstepping is a terrible idea, especially when it comes to, like, close-knit families. I don't know. Stay out of it.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Stephanie?
I think it's the mom's decision, and if there's a dad there, too, it's the parents' decision. She could be the favorite aunt all she wants, but ultimately, it's the decision of the parents. If she goes behind their back, then how can they trust her on other issues? And if it's one computer this year, what happens with a cell phone, tablet, or something else? If the computer's not totally broken, then it's fine. I got six kids of myself, and they all try to pull this card of going to the next person who's a yes parent or the favorite yes person. I'm like, no. And it will cause issues amongst the family because of that. And the child should know better.
I like when kids are so conniving, they know which adult to go to. Because I'm that adult. They always come to me.
They come to you, right?
Oh, yeah.
I come to you for things, so I don't know. Like, maybe it makes sense.
Jason, whose side are you on?
I got to be on Tyson's side here. You know, you don't want to overstep too much into that family dynamic. I mean, you know, let the mom call the shots on this one. She can still be the favorite aunt in other ways. It doesn't have to be this showy, splashy, kind of pretentious ignoring of the mom's wishes. I think she should just find something else to be able to spoil the niece with.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tyson, our audience agreed with you today. Melanie, you can't do it. Mom said no, and mom overrules whatever favorite aunt says.
I disagree with the audience, but I respect the results.
Hey, maybe for her next birthday, you get her an Apple gift card, then she can go buy it herself. How about that?
It's going to be a big gift card.
Well, yeah, it's a loophole.
That's true.
Tyson, you got to be happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'm happy because I see that it's a lot of people, it's a lot of uncles out here that's thinking the same way I am. Don't do it. Don't do it.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.